Thanks for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. Our hope is that it helps you discover completeness in Jesus. Now for this week's teaching.
Well, good morning, church. Let's leave our Bibles open to that Mark 16 passage. If you haven't turned to it yet, please do so. I'd love for you to have that open on your apps or your Bible so we can look at our text today. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're traveling in, you're with friends and family, we're grateful that you're with us this morning. And we invite you, as Maggie did earlier, to just participate today in the worshiping of Jesus. That's why we gather. But let me tell you where we've been as a church. We've been in the Gospel of Mark, and we've been in a series called The One. And we've been looking at aspects of who Jesus is that just reunites our hearts with our Father and allows us to celebrate that Jesus is the only one. He's the only one we need to follow. He's the only one we need, and we find our completeness in him. We've talked about him being the healing one, the mysterious one, the sacrificial one, just to name a few. But as my friend Elijah Daly and my colleague here said recently, that of all the one things we're pointing about Jesus, the resurrected one is the one that makes a difference. It's the one that separates him from every other ruler, every other leader, every other thought leader in your world. Jesus is it. And I don't know that anybody in today's world will be shocked that on this day, the church proclaims Jesus Christ raised from the dead. But what I'm certain of is not many people understand what that actually means for them. It's more than a historical fact. It's more than just a moment in time. It changed everything. And that's what we want to talk about today. What a difference a day makes. One day a loved one is here, the next day they can be gone. One day you think you're well, the next day the doctor tells you something's going on inside of you. One day everything in your life is on track, and the next day everything you held as security could become shaky. One day you're lovingly engaged, and the next day you're married forever, right? One day you know everything you need to know. The next day your child is born, and 14 years later, you realize you know nothing ever and never have. All right, what a difference a day makes. One day it appears there's little hope, and the next day you have a reason to live. What a difference one particular Saturday made in the history of our world. What happens when hope turns to grief? What happens when our bubble is popped and our dream is ended? And the life we thought we were going to live isn't going to ever materialize again. When the body of Jesus was placed in the tomb on that Friday afternoon, and they sealed that tomb with the stone, all the dreams and hopes of all the disciples in the world ended. Everything they hoped that would happen stopped. That evening when the sun set and the tomb was sealed, all the dreams and aspirations of the disciples. You see, you and I know what would happen, but they didn't. Could you suspend your knowledge this morning with me for just a few moments to imagine what it would have been like to have been a disciple who watched Jesus brutally murdered, his body taken off the cross, placed in a tomb, the stone rolled in front? Could you imagine what that might have felt like? John Ortberg, a preacher, says, that Saturday was the last day in the history of the world where not a single person believed that Jesus Christ was alive. The entire world thought it was over. Everything was done. And then at sundown on Friday, they would go to their homes for the Sabbath. And they would spend from sundown on Friday till sundown on Saturday night, they would spend it in those moments. And the goal of the Sabbath was to rest in God. It was not to work. It was not to be busy. It was to rest and celebrate the provisions of God. I'm going to suggest to you that particular Friday night to Saturday night had to be the hardest Sabbath anyone's ever spent. Wondering, what's next? Can you imagine what those hours were like? I hope you will. I hope you'll imagine what it was like to have gone home that night and to sit in your home, not doing anything, just being with family and trying to rest in God, knowing that all of your hopes and dreams have just been shattered. Can you imagine what they were like? Well, if you can't, for those of you old enough in the audience, let me give you an equation. Do you remember what it was like the afternoon of 9/11? Do you remember all the thoughts that entered our minds and hearts? What just happened? What does it mean? Will my life ever be the same again? And I know there's a younger audience here as well, and many of you weren't alive for 9/11, which is really a hard statement to say out loud. But for those of you, do you remember in March of 2020, when your whole world got turned upside down too, and COVID was pronounced, and now your individual freedoms were gone, and you wondered, what will life be like going forward? I imagine it was 10 times worse for the disciples. They thought Jesus was going to be the one that would fulfill all the prophecies yet fulfilled. They thought he was going to be the one who would end their constant threats to their faith and to their belief in God. They thought he was going to be the one. And he's dead. And he's sealed in a tomb like everybody else. We thought he was different. And their faith in the good turned to grief in the face of evil. And it turned to hopelessness. The thought that enters my mind is, if I'm a disciple sitting in my house on Friday night, not leaving my home, but being with my family, the thought to me is, if they could do that to the one I thought was the Son of God, what are they going to do to me? They know I'm a follower. They could kill me too and get away with it. Everything's ruined. Mark 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, it's Saturday night, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, pay attention to what they were focused on. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Have you ever had an obsessive moment where you couldn't stop your mind from trying to figure something out? Now, it might be something like you lost your wedding ring, or you may play something valuable, or maybe something even more important. You couldn't find the TV remote. Do you know those moments? And you tear through the house. You blame the kids and they're not at fault. You send the dog outside, assuming he chewed it. You take the couch apart 3 and 4 times, right? You're like a teenager who went to the refrigerator, couldn't find food, shows up 5 minutes later like some angel delivered new food. You're looking for it. Have you ever gone to bed at night and you can't stop your mind from obsessing? Here's what they thought about all day Saturday. Who's going to roll away the stone? It's insurmountable. It's too big for us. This is what they want to do. They're focused on this. They want to anoint his body. But that's already been taken care of. When Jesus was taken from the cross, he was wrapped up in burial cloths. His body was covered with an embalming ointment. So what do they want to do that's not already been done? Well, there's two factors here. They want to apply spices. They basically want to unwrap his body and add another layer of spices so when his body decomposes, it won't smell. They actually want to do a loving act to a dead man. And all weekend they can think about is, how are we going to get to his body? There's another factor that I want to add. It comes from the male perspective, but I think it's this way. These were three women who saw that two men buried him and they knew they didn't do a good enough job. Are you with me? We can all relate to that, right? It's like, ladies, oh, that was a cute attempt, but I need to go do it right. And they want to get in the tomb. One final act of love. So when the sun comes up on that Sunday morning, they walk the 2 miles or so to get to him. And the entire time they're wondering, who's gonna move the insurmountable stone? Because they knew they couldn't. And what they don't even realize yet is that Pilate had been talking to the Jewish leaders, and the Jewish leaders were fearful the disciples would steal the body. So he not only had the stone rolled in front, but he had Roman soldiers stationed there and he had it sealed, meaning if you even touch the stone by the power of Rome, you're dead too. The insurmountable becomes even more insurmountable. And they head to the tomb. And what I love about these women is they go even though it's too big. They still go. This may be the question of the morning. Who will roll away the stone that you can't? Every one of us has these moments in our lives. Unless you came in here in a baby carrier, every single one of us has a moment in our life where something in front of us is too big. Our power is shown to be inept. We have no solutions to what's in front of us. Every single one of us. We can't stop it from happening. We're not sure anything we do is going to make a difference. And if it stays this way, what good is my life? What good is living if this is the life I have to live from now on? The heartbreak of relationship or a lost business or financial upheaval or a rebellious child or the death of someone we love. We've all had those moments where the stones that are blocking us are so insurmountable, we have no idea what to do. And we just say it's our reality. People move through this world having given into sin, they've created addictions that none of us have the power to break ourselves free from, though we would if we could. We move to this life oblivious to the power of God available to us because we've just accepted that our reality is what it is. We live with no real power. We're overwhelmed with sadness and grief. Have you ever been stuck in a Saturday life? Wondering, is this the rest of my life? And this is where these women went, but I'm amazed by them. They still went to the tomb. When their hope turned to grief, God's power provides peace. See, this is the beauty of not just the fact that Jesus is raised from the dead, but what does it mean? It's not the end of our story when our hope turns to grief, because we have God. And even though the stones in front of us are insurmountable to us, church, they're not insurmountable to him. He's the stone mover. He's the one who provides us a power we don't have. Look at verse 4. And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back and it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side dressed in a white robe and they were alarmed. They were looking up. Notice in their grief, these three women walking together in the early morning and seeing the sun come up, heading toward the tomb, all they can think about is, we can't, what are we gonna do? And they get there, and when they look up, they see that the stone's been moved. They don't know how it's been moved. They just know it's gone. And all their anxieties and all their fears are now turned to what your Bible calls alarm. Looking it up in the original language, the word amazement might be more appropriate. It's not like they were silly or giddy or high-fiving. When they saw the tomb open, you have to understand, they're still going to take care of a dead man. They don't know what it means yet. But what it is they're in that mixture. That word amazement means between the positive and negative emotions. They're trying to understand what just happened and what does it mean. Go back to 9/11. Go back to when COVID broke into our country. Do you remember those feelings of not being able to understand what you're seeing? One of my memories of 9/11 that afternoon was I went right from where I was working at the Bible college, and I got my oldest son, who was just a first grader at the time, I got him out of school and I brought him home. I remember the principal saying, well, I'm not allowed to release him to you. And I said, you don't understand, he's getting in my car. And we drove home and we watched hour after hour of the loop of what was taking place until this heartening moment when my 6 or 7 year old son walked up to the television, put his back to it, put his arms over in front of the screen, and he said to us, can we watch something else? And I realized this child was absorbing all of our anxiety. And we turned on something fun like a cartoon. But in that moment, I didn't need the pictures. I was wondering what just happened. There was a sense of confusion. There was actually a lack of self-determination. I was no longer in charge of the life I was living. Everything changed. And they see the tomb open and they want to get to a dead body and they have no idea that the young man sitting there dressed in white is going to give them, let me put it this way, good news of great joy for all the people. It'd be the second time angels would show up and say, God's about to do something really big. And they listened. Verse 6, he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. If you rush through this, you miss the best part of the meal. So I don't want to rush through this, but I don't want to mansplain it to you either. I want you to notice. I want you to notice that when they go to the tomb, the first words are, do not fear. Do not be alarmed. You might notice when you read the Bible that every time an angel shows up, their first words are always, you have no reason to fear. You'd be dead if I wanted you dead. So he says, do not be fear. You're safe. And so is Jesus. He says, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. What I love about this is they were coming to see a dead body, and the angel knew why they were coming, to take care of a dead body. But he says to them, he died. He was crucified. You didn't make it up. It wasn't a fever dream. This wasn't something that you just manufactured and now, no, you had it all wrong. No, he was dead. The horror and the grief of Friday was real. And I don't want to dismiss the insurmountable rocks that are in front of all of us. Some of us are facing cancer and divorce and a lost child. Many of us are facing things that we can't fix by our own power. And so I'm not dismissing that today. Hear the word of the angel. God sees what you can't do. He sees it. And he's a part of fixing it. If we live by our own power, we don't have the power for victory. And when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," he did not say, "I am finished." He said, "The work of sin is finished, and I'm your remedy." Then the angel says, "He is risen, he is not here." And the actual terminology used in the original language, Mark wrote that he was raised. Not that just he's risen, but he was raised by the power of God. And church, that's where our hope lies. It's not in our own ability. It's in the power of God that the insurmountable is no longer insurmountable. In fact, Matthew 28, Matthew tells us the angel said, "He is not here, he is risen, just as he said." If we want to know the will of God in our lives, we got to know the word of God in our lives. This is where we discover the truth. In fact, in Luke's account of this story, the angel even says to the women, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Because he was dead. And for many of us in our Saturday faith, we're still living like the insurmountable will always be insurmountable. You see, this isn't about the body of Jesus now. These girls were not expecting what they received from the angel. It's about the power of God that brings peace. The angel says, "You don't have to be alarmed anymore. God has this. He always has had this. This is why he said what he said." You see, God was displaying a power that none of us could display. And church, on this day, God displays a power that none of us can live without. None of us can survive without this resurrection power. But if Jesus is the only one who's ever raised from the dead, good for Jesus, boo for us. There's no celebration. If you run up to me and say, "Hey, I just won the lottery. I got $100 million. I'm kind of going to be happy. But if you walk up to me and say, "And I'm splitting it with you," we will dance. Resurrection Sunday is just not about a historical fact that Jesus came out of the tomb. It's what does it mean for us? That power is available to us. All of the insurmountable Saturday stones have now been moved because of this. Verse 6, see the place where they laid him. Please understand this. The stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so we could look in. If the stone's there, we have to choose whether or not to believe it. But the angel says, "No, go see for yourself." I love that God gives us evidence of his power. The stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out. It was rolled away so we could look in. And in fact, in John 20, it says that when they went in, when Peter and John got to the tomb and they walked into the tomb, they noted, John wrote down what he saw. And all of the bloody cloths that covered his broken, bloody body were still there, laying on the table. And his head covering was wrapped up and folded neatly at the head of where he lay. Now, my mother always told me that meant that if Jesus made his bed, Mark, you must also. Terrible theology, but really good parenting. But here's what I want you to see when you look and see that Jesus made his bed. Jesus did not escape from the tomb like a frantic, panicked person who was fearing he may miss his opportunity. Jesus walked out of there like a champ. When the stone rolled away, Jesus made his bed because he said, "I'm not coming back." And he walked out of that tomb. He didn't run for fear. He didn't escape by the eyelash. No, Jesus strolled out of there like a champ, the victor. He was proclaiming victory over death and graves. His empty tomb tells us something about his power. You might remember if you were with us on Good Friday. His sacrificial death was what we deserved. His suffering cross is what we deserved. His brutal punishment was what we deserved. His tomb is what we deserve. Look in it. It's empty. Yours can be too. Not because of your power, but because of his. What a difference a day makes. You see, when faith turns to grief, God's power provides us peace and brings faith out of fear. You see, there's stones in our way. They're true. And they frighten us to our core. They show us that we're not in charge, that we're not in complete control, that we've done this to ourselves at sometimes, and it's being done to us by others at others. Yet in the midst of all of this, look at verse 7. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. and they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. You see, a Friday feeling is, how can this be happening? But a Sunday faith says, if this is true, what does it mean now? If the tomb is empty, what does it mean now? And in fact, I love that the angel even says, go tell his disciples. They're still hiding. They're still in the Saturday fear of faith. The stone is still in front for them. And then I love that the angel says, go tell his disciples and Peter. You see, the grace of God is that even when we deny him, he still works for us. He still moves stones for us. He still displays his power for us. And I love that Mark tells us that the women were trembling when they went to the tomb. And then when they see the tomb's empty, they still tremble. But it's a different kind of trembling, isn't it? The first time is, it's that 9/11. What is going on and what does it mean? And they see the empty tomb and the angel says, go tell the disciples he has been raised by the power of God and his tomb is empty. And now they tremble in a different way. And if you've had the joy of this experience, you'll know what it means to tremble with joy. Do you remember that when they handed you your child for the first time? And you held that baby in your arms and you thought, oh my goodness, what have I done? It's joy, but it's trembling. It's bigger than us. This is bigger than us. And so is the resurrection. You see, that night they went right to the disciples. Mark says in his account that they talked to nobody. I tend to believe what he means there is they didn't stop along the way, invite others. They did exactly what the angel said. They went right to the disciples. And we know in John's account that they came to the disciples and said, the tomb's empty, and some of them ran to the tomb to document it for themselves. There's nothing wrong with diving into the evidence of your faith. And a lot of Saturday faith was turned to Sunday power. Because people looked at the resurrection. If you and I are willing to press into our faith like these women did, like these disciples did, if we want to turn it from more than a historical fact to answer the question, what is my life like now because of resurrection power, then I want to introduce you to the resurrected one. Not the statistics or details, not just historical facts, but the evidence that's presented to us of what the world is like now. The power of the empty tomb. The power of the living resurrected one, the power to move insurmountable stones, the power to live in the Sunday of his victory. Paul wrote to a church in Philippi these words, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul is not saying to us, I want to know that this happened to him. Paul says, I want to know what it means to live that way. To live in the power of the resurrection. And so, he says, continuing, somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. But not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What a difference a day makes, even a day like today. What does it mean to press on, to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me? For some of you, it's time to take Jesus seriously. Don't just take him occasionally. Jesus isn't a holiday. Jesus is the master of the universe, the power of all powers, and the savior of all souls. He deserves allegiance. He deserves respect and honor. Connect with other believers. Come to know him more completely. Walk on the pathway of discipleship, connecting your life to the power of God's word, to the power of prayer with God, and the power of God's community, to begin to live out a resurrected life, no longer fearing the insurmountable, because God takes care of all of that. For some of you, it means to declare what you have surrendered to. Take to God that insurmountable thing right now that's keeping you from faith. Take it to him. Ask what Jesus has said about those things. And ask what Jesus has offered to do for you in his name. For some of you, it means to take the emptiness of the tomb and receive it. Receive the power of resurrection through Jesus. At the back of the room are two tables with lamps lit behind you. the next few moments, if we can pray with you or encourage you, there are people that would love to meet you at those tables. We want to encourage each and every person here. Today is not just a celebration that Jesus walked out of the tomb, but the promise is by his power, those who believe in him and trust him can as well. Today, do we trust the resurrected one? He's the reason we gather. Let's stand together.
Thanks again for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. We hope that this teaching is helping you discover completeness in Jesus and encourages you to help others do the same. If you're interested in learning more about Christ Church, visit us online at cco.church.